Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here. It is Thursday, November the 2nd, 2017. We're into November, David. I mean, last week we talked about how it's October. It's November already.
I know. I cannot believe it. It's just flying by.
And yet the good news is, as it flies by, I told you before the show, I've been watching the numbers where our podcast and our website and so forth are concerned, and we're increasing, David. I mean, we're just flying.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I really love that. You know, the more people that listen, the more people are finding out about, you know, this
they
wonderful law of attraction information,
and they're subscribing. We've been asking people to subscribe to the podcast. They're subscribing. I mean, last week we had twice as many people on the first day listening as we had the previous week.
Yay.
I mean, holy cow, this is great. So if you haven't subscribed, be sure you subscribe now because, well, first of all, we love it. It's a way that you can tell us that you're listening.
And how do people do that if they want to subscribe?
Yes, absolutely. There are a few ways to do it. You can go to loatoday.net, which is our website. There's a nice big link there. It says click here to subscribe. You can also subscribe through the iTunes store. We actually are in iTunes. So if you're on an iPhone, go to the iTunes store. Now, we aren't in Google Play yet. We will be there. It's one of my projects that's on the back burner. I plan to get us there,
okay.
but we're not there yet. But you can even if you're on an Android phone, you can still go to loatoday.net with your web browser, click the link, and that will connect you directly into your podcast software. So subscribe today.
Absolutely. And if anybody is looking for some wonderful law of attraction life coaching, you can just go to my site, lifecoachdavid.com,
and
you can find out there how to contact me because the law of attraction coaching is just so amazing. And I can honestly say every client I've had, it has really helped a lot. So definitely consider that. But
it occurs to me, too, you must have so much fun doing that.
It is. It can be. You know, sometimes, depending on what's going on, it could be intense, but
sure. Oh, yeah, because people bring real problems to you, and the problems are very, very important to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but sometimes they do have a lot of fun, which is good too, because it's vibration raising.
Well, plus you're helping them raise their vibration. That's got to feel good every single time.
Yes. So, well, I want to ask you because we've kind of gotten used to doing this. What are some wins you've had in the last week that you can share?
Well, our numbers
bigger
are up on LOA Today.
Bigger, small. Yeah, that's right.
That's one of our wins. LOA Today's numbers are up. I mean, and by dramatic amounts. It's not just day one either. I mean, when I look at, episode to episode and what's happening throughout the year, we are way, way up.
You know, wonderful.
The increase is really staggering. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to measure it when you look at these numbers, but no matter what way I look at it, it's up. So thank you, listeners. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
So that was a big win this week. Second win was I've actually been clearing my table a lot in my day-to-day work. I think I've mentioned lately I've been primarily working with my wife and her business. She has the gardening services business. And we're now winding down the season because obviously gardening season's almost over.
Yeah.
The good news for there is that I have a project, a software writing project that I've been trying to get to that will enable us to automate large portions of the stuff that gets done when you run a business like that, that very often we've been duplicating efforts on, which of course is the worst thing you can do because you're just wasting a lot of time when you duplicate efforts, but you kind of have to when you do things manually. So that's why I'm writing the software. And bottom line here, once November 1st comes around and we've basically shut down the gardening for the season, I won't be distracted helping her with all this other stuff, with the bookkeeping and with answering the phones and all this other stuff I have to do for her. Now I can just focus on, writing the software. So that's a win, too, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I guess my third win for the week is we had some really nice weather. We had one or two days where it was rainy, but the weather's been gorgeous. So I don't know about your area, but it's been really – and the leaves have been beautiful.
Beautiful. I know. It's like driving through a postcard.
Yeah.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you?
Well, let me think. Yesterday, actually, and I shared this another time, too, but it happened again. I went to the mall, and I got the very, very first parking spot.
Oh, another parking victory.
Yes, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, it was literally like I got the spot, and then 10 feet away was the entrance. I'm like, wow, like, that's amazing. So
it's funny. I can't remember any particular lately, but I know I've had a number lately where it was the same kind of thing. You drove right in, and I don't know about you. For me, with the first spot, it often happens like this. As I'm driving in, the car in the first spot, they pull out, and they pull out and drive away just as I'm driving in. That happens a lot.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yesterday, though, it was just I went in there, drove in the lot there, and it was just there waiting for me. I'm like, oh, okay. So that was a fun win.
Yeah.
And what else? We had some guests over recently, and that went really well. We had a lot of fun.
Very nice.
And, you know, I don't even know if you know this, but I wrote a 21-day self-guided kind of law of attraction coaching program for people that
did not know that.
They can't do the private coaching. So I wrote something that if someone wants to do something on their own, and a few of those sold this past week.
Oh, very good. Where do you sell those?
Oh, that's on my website. There's actually a tab called Self-Guided Program.
Oh, okay.
And I always count that as a win. It's kind of like a double win because, of course, then I know I get excited that whoever's doing it is going to get a lot of great information.
Yeah,
so I kind of count that as a double win. So that was great. And I've had safe transportation lately, which I count as a win because
these days,
not everyone could say that.
Oh, yeah.
Even more interesting, I was watching a program on TV, and you know how you and I have talked about, you know, how sometimes watching TV or the news can be really kind of a vibration lowering, and they make all kinds of suggestions, and it's not good.
Oh, yeah.
So I was watching, this was just like a real estate show where they kind of take you through people's fancy homes, and they kind of describe them and whatever. So this lady was doing that on TV. And she goes, oh, now I want to show you a beautiful room. And she walked up with the camera to this beautiful master bedroom. And she goes, this is a great escape after a long, hard day. And I thought to myself, you just let however many millions of people know that a long, hard day. Like, that's what she was promoting, a long, hard. And why can't you enjoy that beautiful room if you had a wonderful, fun, easy day?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I wanted to mention that to you because I thought it's just like that was something subtle. Like it wasn't even the news, but yet, people watching, like if you're not aware enough, you're going to think like, oh, you kind of like deserve to have that only if you've had a long, hard day. And I thought to myself, no.
It's interesting.
I can still have that.
It's interesting you should mention
that and have an easy day.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's interesting you should mention that too, because I was I don't check Facebook a lot. I have a Facebook account. I occasionally take a look at it, so I don't really. I'm not like regularly posting. I'm not one of those people who's sharing what the dog did all
either.
The time. Really been a big thing for me. But I was looking at it just the other day, two or three days ago, and something popped up in my news feed. And I don't really know why it popped up. This has got to be an LOA thing. Because I can't think of any reason. Facebook usually does stuff based on what they think you're going to like based on what you've liked in the past. You know, if you go and like something, they're going to send you more of that kind of thing. Maybe I like something, I just don't remember it, that was along this line. But they sent me a link to an article from 2013. That's the bizarre part. You would think they'd send me a current article, right? But this is from 2013. And it was from The Guardian, the newspaper in the UK that also has a US edition. The name of the article was News is Bad for You and Giving Up Reading It Will Make You Happier.
Wow, I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's by a guy named Rolf Dobelli. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, folks, just go to Google and type in The Guardian and then News is Bad for You, and I'll bet you this will pop up. It's
probably
a fascinating, fascinating article. And it basically lists all the reasons why you should not watch the news.
Yes.
It says one of the reasons is that the news misleads you. It's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It has no explanatory power. Boy, is that the truth.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually explain anything. It just scares you to death on everything.
That's true.
He says it's actually toxic to your body because it constantly triggers the limbic system. And panicky stories spur the release of cascades of glucocorticoid, or cortisol. Mm. And that's the fight or flight endocrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hormone that basically puts you in a state of believing that a rhino is charging at you, you know.
Right, and you feel it can make you feel anxiety and stress.
Yeah,
and, you know,
it impairs your digestion. It actually affects your growth. You have lack of growth. You're more nervous. You're susceptible to infections. I mean, there's a whole host of side effects associated with just being in a fear state. It increases cognitive errors, so you actually tend to make more mistakes in your work just because you're watching the news. It inhibits thinking, he says. It works like a drug. And that's the truth. A lot of people are addicted to news. It wastes time. It makes us passive. It kills creativity. By the time you read the article, you're saying, well, first two thoughts came to my mind. The first thought was, what sane news site published this? Because he's basically saying, don't read us.
Yeah, that's true.
That was the funniest part. And the second part was, why didn't more people notice this?
Because
I mean, that's a pretty major site. You know, they get a good amount of traffic every day.
But, it's interesting because I usually talk with people about the news being an issue because it's a vibration lower. But then after, like, I was kind of aware enough to hear that realtor say after a long, hard day, I thought, wow, it's not just the news.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
It's a lot of things on TV that we're hearing a lot that is kind of has the potential to program us to believe it. It's like... we can all still have a gorgeous master suite and still have an easy, nice day.
That's true.
we still deserve to have that, even if we don't have a long, hard
That's
day.
That's right, yeah. Well, there actually were a lot of comments on the article. In fact, there were 449 of them, and I got to read you the first two because they're hysterical, okay? So the first comment says, as I have said several times, I read none of them. Too partisan. Better up-to-date news available electronically. To which somebody replied, but you've read this. This is an online newspaper. And as the article mentions, online could be even worse. And it's funny. I mean, here we are reading it. We're reading the thing that we're saying we shouldn't be reading, the news, right? We're talking about how you shouldn't read the news. And here we are reading. It's one of those, it's a vortex thing. It is. When you think about it, the more time you spend, I'm going to close this window now. I want it to go away. But if you do have sort of that that black underside of yourself, that dark underside, then you can Google and look for that particular article and read it. Because if nothing else, it'll give you a good laugh. And it will reinforce the value of not only staying away from the news, but staying away from as many other negatives in your life as you possibly can and replacing them with positives.
Yes. Yes. I also have a question.
Okay.
And by the way, if anyone has a question, they can just email to me at david@lifecoachdavid.com, and we'll do our best to answer.
And people have been doing it. That's what's so good. We've been every single week. We've been giving somebody to send in a question. That's really fantastic.
I know. This is from, I hope I'm saying the name right, Prana from Canada. But it's a good question. I'm new to Law of Attraction. How do I stay at a high vibration about money when I haven't attracted any extra money yet?
It's a good question. That's a question that a lot of people struggle with. I've struggled with it. I don't know if you've ever struggled with it. It's not a happy place to be. Let me tell you that.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's a good question because it could be about anything. Money, relationship, better job, like whatever.
Oh, and yeah. But money is usually at the top of the list, isn't it? I mean, that's the one thing more people are interested in than anything else. How do you attract more of the green stuff?
Yes, and of course, not surprisingly, I subscribe to the daily Abraham Hicks quotes.
Well, actually, it's not so much Canada. Canada doesn't have green stuff. They have, like, red stuff and well, sorry.
Oh, okay. So I got a quote from Abraham, and that fits us perfect. So I figure I just start with the answer by reading this. So this is the quote from Abraham, Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham. Your ability to imagine will help the next logical steps come to you faster.
Mm.
Work the bugs out in your imagination. You don't have to build little things and bigger things. You can do it all in your mind. We're not talking about the next logical action step. Use your imagination until your big dream feels so familiar that the manifestation is the next logical step.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought that was a good answer to this question, that just... You just have to keep within your thoughts your idea about money and attracting more money so familiar that it can't help but manifest for you.
The other thing is to make sure that when you're trying to attract the money, you don't try to attract the lack of it.
Yes.
It's a very natural thing.
Be careful how you think about it. Yeah.
Right. You don't want to think about it in terms of I don't have the money. You want to think of it in terms about I have the money. Even if you don't, you still have to want to think about it in terms of having the money. I have it. I'm using it. I'm enjoying it. I'm exchanging it for great stuff.
Yeah, like a lot of times when I work with people to attract more money, I say, well, if you had an unlimited amount of money, what would you do with it?
Right.
And when you think about it in that way, like, ooh, if I had an unlimited amount of money, I'd travel first class to wherever, and I'd buy whatever your dream car is, and anything you could think of, I'd donate. And then you have to also go with how it would make you feel. Like, oh, I would just feel so free having an unlimited amount of money. I would just feel so relieved and so happy. And, like, just keep your thoughts there.
What we're really trying to do is to do what a little kid does, because little kids are really good at imagining.
Yes.
And in fact, they're so good at it, they live it. While they're imagining that, you know, they're a pirate or that they're a fireman or whatever it might be, you know, they're living being a fireman. They're living being a pirate. They're living doing all this stuff. And when you live it like that and you do it consistently, I mean, that's probably why we don't have so many kids who are firemen, because they aren't always imagining they're a fireman. They're imagining, you know, the imaginations vary from day to day, from hour to hour or minute to minute. But if you do something consistently, that's when the attractive aspect starts to roll into place, so to speak. So ideally what you want to do is not just imagine what would you do with the amount of money, you know, if you had an unlimited amount of money, or I forget how you phrase it, but you also want to put yourself into place and imagine all the aspects of it. You know, if you're play rolling, or role playing, I guess it is. Boy, did I screw that one up. If you're role playing, you know, being a traveler, for instance, you imagine the whole trip. You know, your goal is to go to Hawaii. Okay, what would you do in Hawaii? Okay, well, you get on the plane, and you're in first class, right? Because, of course, you're imagining
Why
your best
not?
Possible thing.
Absolutely.
So you're in first class,
and
you know, you're being all your needs are being tended to. You're, you know, leaning back, taking a nap, you're watching the movie, you're doing whatever it is you want to do, and then you land in Hawaii, and you play out your little role-playing scenario. So I don't think they even do the same. Maybe they do. I don't know. I haven't been to Hawaii. But you imagine somebody coming up with a lei and putting the lei around your neck, right?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if they do that anymore.
I don't know. I have no idea. They might. It probably depends on the airline. That would be my guess. Are you a first-class passenger?
But you're right. The more in depth you get,
yeah,
the more you could feel it, and the more you're keeping yourself in that abundant vibration.
Yeah.
And then
so you imagine going to the hotel, and then you check into the hotel, and you know, they check you into the 5-star suite, and then you go out to have your first meal, and you see the ocean there, and the ocean's gorgeous, and the sand is beautiful. It just stretches out for miles, and you just do the whole thing. You imagine the temperature. You imagine, you know, the beautiful sky and the little puffy white clouds, and you see the surf, and you see the way the sun hits the sand, and you see, you do the whole thing. The whole thing.
Without concerning yourself of when or how
it
will happen.
Yes.
Because once you get into the when or the how, which we've talked about before, then you're bringing in the resistance, the doubt, the worry, and all that, and then you're kind of bringing yourself back down vibrationally about it.
And the easiest way I know of to remember that is to remember how a little kid does it. A little kid doesn't do it in terms of when it's going to happen. For him, the when is now.
Yeah.
You know, for her, the when is as I'm doing it. So you do it the way the little kid does it. And when you do it the way the little kid does it, you're doing it right.
Yeah, and you have to also trust that it is whatever. Okay, we're talking about money, that more money is on its way. And a lot of times, money can sometimes manifest itself as money, like an unexpected check you get in the mail. But there's other ways you can, you know, someone takes you out to lunch and they pay.
Right? Yes.
Like there's different ways you can attract money. But the main thing is you want to keep yourself in a raised vibration about money without concerning yourself with how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen.
Now, your big enemy is what you said. What's our writer's name? Prana?
I think so.
Prana, okay.
Yeah.
So Prana,
yeah.
You want to also make sure that you don't give yourself any – time focusing on, I've never had that experience before, because you included that in your question. You want to make sure you take that completely out of the role play. And it doesn't matter that you've never experienced it before. What you have experienced as a little kid is role playing in an imaginary way. So if you were a little kid and you were imagining that you were rich and that you were living a rich lifestyle, would it have mattered that you had never experienced it? And the answer, of course, is no, because little kids don't worry about stuff like that. You want to put yourself into that same mentality of, it doesn't really matter whether I've experienced it before.
Yeah, it's kind of like with law of attraction, it's kind of the reverse of what most people, when they get the check or when they get their dream card, then they're excited about it. But we want to be excited about whatever it is we want to attract before we get it, so we attract it to us.
Right.
It's kind of a little different than most people are used to thinking about.
Yeah, well, we all routinely think that when A happens, B, I will feel better.
Exactly.
What we don't realize is not just law of attraction teaching, but science tells us it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Science is doing all, especially the people in the positive psychology field, are doing all kinds of studies these days that show one after another, we keep reinforcing the same point over and over again. The people who find a way to be happy, to imagine their dreams, to live in the positive and live in the good place, are the ones who have the success. And the people who aim for the success first are almost invariably not happy when they get it, if they get it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a theme that plays out in study after study after study after study. So we all believe that if A, then B, it's not the way that things work. It's the other way around. If B, then A is much more accurate. If I am happy, if I am positive, if I am focused, then the good successes will happen. That's the way to think about it.
And well, what are your thoughts on like having an amount? Like, do you think that's good? Like, when I want to attract $1 million, would you think it's better just to kind of leave it open, like without the amount?
Yeah, I've thought about that one a lot. My current thinking is that it really depends on whether or not the amount you name is one you believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you really do believe that you will attract it, then you will. But it's not the amount that did it. It's the belief that did it.
Yeah. Usually I suggest not to have an amount because I feel like then you're limiting yourself. So I always say,
I think that most people are probably better off not having an amount.
Exactly.
Yeah. Again, if you're certain in your thinking that the amount's going to come, then fine. But if you're not certain of that, leave it open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because otherwise, like you say, you're just shutting yourself down and putting yourself into that negative vortex. That's the place we're trying to stay away from, folks.
So that was the question. Thank you for sending that in. And hopefully you got some insight from the answer.
And please keep sending those questions in, because they're a great way for us to interact with you. We would love to have the day come when we're actually able to take live calls. I mean, we live for that possibility.
Nice.
But
yeah.
Until then, at least we can get the emails and answer the questions by email. So thank you very much, Prana, and Matt from last week, and everybody else. Please feel free to send in your questions, because we'd love to talk to you. So we're on to chapter 11 of Ask and It Is Given. We've done 10 chapters so far. We're moving right along. There are 22 chapters in this book, but we're almost halfway through. That's pretty good.
Yes.
This chapter is called "With Practice, You Will Become a Joyous Deliberator."
You made a new word.
Deliberator. With practice, you will become a joyous, deliberate creator. Which is kind of what we were just talking about with the imagining game, isn't it? It's pretty much the same thing.
Yes, yes.
So, okay, well, let's start reading here, because we always like to read some of it. This is one chapter. We will not be able to read the whole thing. It's a longer chapter, and it'll have more than we can cover, but, in our 1 hour time. Actually, we have about 35 minutes, so, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time left to do it all. But we'll do as much as we can. We'll skip through and hit the high points, because that's really the important thing.
Yeah.
But let's start from the beginning. It says, as you consciously consider the way you feel, you will get better and better at directing the source energy, and you will become a disciplined and joyous, deliberate creator. With practice, you will be able to achieve a focused control of this creative energy, and like the skilled sculptor, you will take delight in the molding of this energy which creates worlds and direct it toward your individual creative endeavor. So there's the promise right there. that, mm-hmm. you know, if you're willing to actually do this work, that good things are going to come out of it, and that you're going to, you know, your dreams are going to come true, which is what you want.
And I want to highlight the word, because as you know, this is important, with practice.
With practice.
It really does take practice.
And isn't that practice makes perfect? It's that practice makes dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfection is not what we're aiming for here. What we're aiming for is repetitive behavior.
Like, and even with the question we got today, I would tell her that too. It takes practice. You have to practice keeping your thoughts in the high vibration place. You mm-hmm. have to keep practicing that.
That's right. Yeah. And it's not always easy. I mean, sometimes we have days that are just tough days, and it's a hard thing to bring ourselves back there. It's the intention of getting back there as soon as possible. That's what keeps us focused in the right direction. Or even if we're focused in the wrong direction for a while, we don't stay there. We move back by refocusing mm-hmm. on where do we want to get to, what feels good. Always reminding ourselves, what feels good, what feels good, what feels good.
Yes.
In fact, the first subhead of this chapter says, it is not about controlling thoughts, it is about guiding thoughts. It says, in your highly technologically evolved society where you have immediate access to almost everything that is happening around your planet, you are bombarded with thoughts and ideas that at times feel invasive to your personal experience. And so the idea of controlling your thoughts when there are so many other thoughts coming forth seems impossible. It seems instead rather normal to just give your attention to whatever is in front of you. We are not encouraging you to make an effort to control your thoughts, but instead to make an effort to more or less guide your thoughts. And it is not even so much about guiding your thoughts as it is about reaching for a feeling. Because reaching for the way you would like to feel is an easier way to hold your thoughts in vibrational alignment with that which you believe is good. The law of attraction is already magnetically attracting and organizing your thoughts. That's a nice thing to remember. It's already organizing your thoughts for you. So having an understanding of and deliberately working with the law of attraction is extremely helpful in an effort at guiding your own thoughts. Remember, whenever you give your attention to a thought, that thought immediately becomes activated within you, so the law of attraction immediately responds, which means that other thoughts in vibrational harmony with the thought that you have just had, now join your activated thought, making it a more pronounced, more powerful, and more attractive thought. And as you continue your focus and as your thought expands, that more powerful thought that you have just activated is joined by others like it, and on it goes.
Yes.
So you're trying to create a cascade effect by focusing on good feeling stuff, recognizing what that good feeling stuff is, letting new ideas about good feeling stuff come along, and going on to that one, and then enjoying how that feels, and letting that go on to another thought, and enjoying how that feels. That's what you're trying to do. That's the process.
Yes. And it's so true that more of those thoughts lead to more of those thoughts lead to more of those thoughts. Like, even I've worked with some clients where when they first start trying to do that, at first they just think of a few things. And then they think of a few more. Then before I know it, they're on this rampage of positive thoughts about whatever it is they want to attract. And it's so interesting how that's so true, that they just lead to more. So that's good to remember too.
Now you can, I know this has happened to me quite a few times. It's probably happened to you too. You can be in a particularly bad mood that day, in a bad place, so to speak. And you think of a good thought, and instant later you think of a bad thought. And then
that's where your practice comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the opportunity. Whenever you notice that happening, you don't want to do what I have done in the past, which is to feel depressed about the fact that I'm thinking bad thoughts again. That's the wrong reaction.
That'll waste your time.
That'll not only waste your time, it'll ensure that you get onto that negative vortex.
Yeah, well, that's what, yes.
Instead, when you notice that you've slipped the rail, so to speak, and you came up with a positive thought and then immediately followed up with a negative thought, laugh at it, dismiss it, and come up with the next positive thought. And yeah, it takes a little effort to do that, but that's what the practice part is.
Yes. And it's well worth it. It really is. It's worth doing it.
It isn't just that it's worth it in terms of attracting stuff. That's one thing that I've really learned, particularly lately. It isn't about the attraction of the stuff itself. It's about coming to terms with and learning about who you are and how you think. That's what I've really learned a lot. I have learned a ton about stuff that I had buried deep down that was coming up,
yeah.
Angry stuff
yeah.
and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not even sure where it came from. Have you ever had a day like mm-hmm. that? You know, you just feel angry and you don't even know why. You learn a lot when you do this. And the more that you focus, when that happens, if I push myself to find a positive thought, I find myself pulled right back to that negative stuff again. I'm saying, what on earth am I angry about? I can't even think of anything I'm angry about.
Yeah.
And I do it just for what the reason that you just did. You laughed at it. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get myself to laugh at, you know, how crazy am I?
Yes.
Because if I can do that, then I break that pattern and I can start shifting to finding that positive feeling that actually leads to another positive feeling.
Yes, I can. And I bet you would answer yes to this. Since you've been doing that for however long, you're actually a happier person overall.
Yeah, it takes a while to notice that. It doesn't. It's not something you notice right away. But over time, you begin to realize, wow, I'm actually a very different. In fact, my wife has pointed it out to me a couple times lately. She says, "You're a much happier person than you used to be."
And I'm excited about that because I tell people that this work stretches far beyond just attracting what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to me, it's worth more to genuinely be a happier person every day than attracting whatever.
Right.
Like to me, that's more. I feel that's even more important.
I agree with you. I think it's actually the thing. Being not just a happier person, but a person who is living more good stuff happening, regardless of whether the things are there. Just living a more satisfying life. Because the more satisfying your life is, that actually has a very strong law of attraction pull to it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but
absolutely.
It also feels better. And it feels...
I mean...
It feels like you actually have...
You can't put a price on that.
You can't put a price on that. No, no, no. I mean, it feels like your life's worthwhile, you know? If you don't have that, your life doesn't feel worthwhile. That's where people really get into bad places, because their life doesn't feel worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But when your life starts to feel worthwhile because you've actually improved your overall mood over time, you're less often in the deep dark spaces that you were in before. You're more often in the happy, light, bright spaces.
And that's huge.
It has a big, big effect on every area of our life, not just in terms of attracting things, in terms of attracting experiences.
Yes.
Experiences are actually bigger than things in many ways.
So it's very exciting when life starts becoming like that.
Yeah.
Just from
because life starts to open up. The possibilities start to open up in a way that when you're in the dark place, you can't even see.
Exactly.
They just aren't even in your realm of vision when you're in that place. But as you start to kind of climb out of it by, you know, redirecting thoughts, redirecting emotions, finding stuff to feel good about, discovering wins, remembering what the wins are, focusing on the wins, ignoring the bad stuff, all that kind of thing. When you do all that more and more and more and more, all of a sudden more and more possibilities open up to you that you didn't see last week.
Yes, yes. Because, I mean, all this what we're talking about, all this vibrationally based information, when we're all generally happier and feeling better, then we can't help but attract circumstances and experiences that support us happier.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a wonderful thing.
It's a self-perpetuating mechanism. That's why they call it a vortex.
Yes.
That's what a vortex is, right? A vortex is a self-perpetuating thing. It's like a...
Yes, well, and of course you're... Like from a law of attraction point of view, at least the way Esther Hicks talks about it through Abraham, is that like our vortex is kind of like an alternate reality of our lives, but exactly how we want them to be. Like you've received everything you've ever asked for, and you're feeling amazing, and it's kind of like the best version of your life that you could imagine.
Yeah, yeah. When the vortex is a vortex of stuff is where like stuff keeps coming through. So something comes through, and something like it comes through, and something like that comes through, and then something like that comes through, and then something like that comes through. And it's an ongoing rampage of the same kind of thing. That's what a vortex is.
And hopefully all wonderful things.
Well, depending on what you've been focusing on, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
So if you find that your vortex ain't so hot, now you know why.
Yeah, yeah. Got to change your story.
Got to change the story. It's very important. So, I guess that takes us on to the next section, which is how to effectively become a deliberate creator.
Perfect.
Remember, before you can effectively benefit from paying attention to your emotions, you must first accept that well-being is the only stream that flows. That's a really fascinating point. Well-being is the only stream that flows. You can allow or disallow this stream, but when you allow it, you are well, and when you disallow it, you are sick. In other words, there is only a stream of wellness which you are allowing or resisting, and you can tell by the way you feel which you are doing. There's no such thing as a stream of illness.
Wow.
That's that. When I first read that, I'd say that was about 3 or 4 years ago. When I first read that, that was like a punch in the mouth. That was, holy cow. There is no such thing as a stream of negativity. There is no such thing as a stream of any bad thing. There's only well-being. Which means you either experience well-being or you pinch yourself off from well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no third option.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be reminded about that.
Yeah.
It's just a stream of well-being, and that's it. But are you connecting to that or not? Are you allowing that or not?
That's it. That's it. Are you allowing that in? And allowing is it. Allowing is the whole thing. Because we are very good at disallowing. We need to practice more allowing, but we're really good at disallowing. So since you're already good at that, you don't have to do that one anymore.
And apparently it's even more natural to be hooked into the stream of well-being.
Yes, yes.
But then we kind of forget that somewhere along the way.
Well, they say it right here in the next paragraph. You are supposed to thrive. You are supposed to feel good. You are good. You are loved. And well-being is constantly flowing to you. And if you will allow it, it will manifest in all manner of ways in your experience. Whatever you are giving your attention to is already pulsing an energy vibration. And as you hold your attention upon it, you begin to vibrate as it is vibrating. That's a key point right there. The more you focus on what's already coming through, you vibrate like it.
Yes.
Each time you focus upon it, each time you offer the vibration, it feels easier for you to do it the next time, until in time you develop a sort of vibrational proclivity. It is like practicing anything. It gets easier and easier. And with enough focusing on this thought and therefore practicing this vibration, you form what you call a belief. A belief is only a practiced vibration.
Wow.
Let me read that one again. A belief is only a practiced vibration. In other words, once you have practiced the thought long enough, then any time you approach the subject of that thought, the law of attraction will take you easily into the full vibration of your belief. A belief is only a practiced vibration. Or as they often say, as Esther Hicks often says, a belief is something that you think often. That's not what we usually think of with a belief, is it? We don't really think of a belief. I believe in Christ. I believe in, you know, the law of gravity. I believe in whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really think of a belief in terms of a practice vibration. We think of it in terms of whether it's true.
Yeah. And in either direction.
Yeah.
The good. We can form beliefs in a good direction or the bad direction.
It's really helpful to remember that a belief is simply a thought we think over and over again. Which means we can change our beliefs anytime we want to.
Yeah.
How about that?
Isn't that a good awareness?
That's a fantastic awareness. So, okay, move on, because we don't have a lot of time, so let's move on quickly.
Yeah.
Next subsection, have you made a decision to direct your thoughts? That's a good question. Have you made a decision to direct your thoughts? To be the deliberate creator of your own experience, you will be one who has decided to direct your thoughts. For only when you deliberately choose the direction of your thoughts can you deliberately affect your own point of attraction. You cannot continue to discuss, observe, and believe things in the same way you always have and make changes in your point of attraction. Anymore, as we previously mentioned, then you can set your radio dial to 6:30 a.m. and receive the broadcast from 101 FM. It just doesn't work that way. Your vibrational frequencies have to match.
Yes.
So every emotion that you feel is about your alignment or misalignment with the energy of your source. Your emotions are your indicators of the vibrational variance between your physical being and your inner being. Boy, that's another thing we often forget about. There can be a variance between who we are physically and who we are inside. And that variance is what causes all of the headaches in our lives. We want them to be in attune with each other. We want them to be true to each other, which means that's what we really mean when we say be true to yourself. You know, we've all heard mm-hmm. that phrase, be true to yourself. This is what we mean by it. Stay in vibrational alignment with yourself.
Yes. Yes.
And as it says here, when you pay attention to these emotions and try to focus on good feeling thoughts, you are then using your emotional guidance system in the way that you intended when you decided to come into this physical body. Your emotional guidance system. That's another cool phrase.
Yes, and focus on good feeling thoughts. So even if you're not in that frame of mind, you can still choose to start focusing on better thoughts.
Well, it actually works either way, but I think it'd be crazy to focus on the bad feeling thoughts myself.
Of course.
People do that. We say of course, but people do that regularly.
No, but I'm saying, like, to anyone listening who may be in the bad feeling thoughts, you can just easily start switching.
It's truly astonishing
how
much control we have.
You don't have to stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to stay there. You don't.
You can. That's the astonishing part. We actually have the power to crawl out of that.
Absolutely. And that's, once you kind of realize that, it's like, wow, that's like a huge thing to get, to actually experience.
It is. It's gigantic. It's life-changing.
Like, I don't have to stay thinking about all the things that are wrong in my life. I can suddenly switch that. I can think of something better. And I can think of something better than that. And something better
than
right.
That. That's right. Yeah. That's another one of those phrases that used to have a different meaning for me. Life-changing used to mean that all of my dreams would come true, and I would have, you know, the Lexus in the parking lot, and I'd have the, you know, the 25-room mansion, and I'd be, you know, flitting around the world and so forth. That's what it used to be. What it is now to me is completely different. What it now
is, I agree.
I'm a happier person now.
Yes, yes.
And it's not a kind of change that people who don't know you will ever notice, but it's huge for you.
Yes, yes.
The people who are closest to you will notice it. My wife noticed it for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so but,
you know, that's true. Like the things we attract are nice to attract, of course, but they're kind of like temporary fixes towards feeling happy. But when you do the real work, you don't have to rely on things to make you feel really happy.
Yeah, actually, I'm not even sure they're temporary fixes to be happy. That's what the scientific studies are showing us. The people who achieve the success, the people who do so without using law of attraction, just by blowing their way through and, you know, building a big company and, you know, working themselves to death in the process and so forth. They often do, by the way. They often work themselves to death, literally.
Yes.
But those people, when they get there, they get the things, and the things don't satisfy them at all.
That's right.
There's not even like a little bit of a feeling of good that comes out of it. There's no feeling at all that comes out of it. That's the striking part.
Yes.
So it isn't even that the things will make you feel good. The things don't make you feel anything. They really don't.
I remember Paul McCartney was talking about when the Beatles first started, and they were, you know, working really hard to become like really popular, and they did. And he said, and it was just interesting, when I got to the top, nothing was there.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah, like
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So, all right, well, let's keep going here with a chapter. Oh, good question. Next subhead. Can you accept yourself as a vibrational being?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would probably run into that a lot with your practice, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But what does it say? I'm curious.
Okay. Well, it says most of your physical friends are unaccustomed to viewing their lives in terms of vibrations, and they are certainly not accustomed to thinking of themselves as radio transmitters and receivers. But you do live in a vibrational universe, and you are more energy, vibration, or electricity than you realize. Once you allow this new orientation and begin to accept yourself as a vibrational being who attracts all the things that come into your experience, then you will begin the delicious journey into deliberate creation.
Yes.
Now, I would think that you run into this a lot with your clients, the inability to accept themselves as vibrational beings. Am I wrong about that?
No, especially in the beginning, especially with somebody more new to the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to demonstrate to them how they are. Like, I can just take them through a process where they just recall a wonderful experience they had, and they describe it to me in detail.
Right.
And then by the time they're done, they're like, "Ooh, I just feel so good now." And I said, "Well, can you feel the difference between how you feel now compared to when we first started talking?" And they're like, "Oh, totally." Like, that's vibration. You just raised your vibration.
That's a really good point, because that's the buzz you and I get when we do the podcast.
Yeah.
It's hard to convey to people who are listening what that buzz feels like, unless you're living it.
But that's what that's one way to help someone realize they are a vibrational being. In 1 minute, they're feeling kind of, and then just a few minutes later, by deliberately doing something, they're feeling like much better, much, much higher vibrationally.
So if you want to feel that higher vibration, that buzz, if you want to see what it feels like to get there just by what you're focusing on what you're talking about, and you're not getting there by yourself, that's the reason for somebody to call you about coaching. Because you give a free session, if I remember right.
I do.
Yeah.
I always offer a free mini phone coaching session for the first one.
So at the very least, you can get a free session, and for one session, you can feel what it feels like. In fact, you may find that you like it so much you want to do other sessions. You never know.
well, that's what happens once you get a taste of a raised vibration, whether it's through coaching or through listening to someone like Esther or somebody else, you're like, oh, that felt good. I want more of that.
That's why I do the podcast. That's why I've been doing it for, let's see, how long has it been now? 5 years?
Wow.
Yeah, this is the fifth year. Yeah. In fact, we just passed the fifth anniversary for me. So, and I mean, I get such a lift out of it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a lot for somebody to do, perhaps to do their own podcast. But you don't have to do a podcast. You can do it just by having one person in your life who you agree with that person ahead of time. We're going to do positive talking.
Yes.
We're just going to talk about positives. We'll talk about the law of attraction. That's what I do in the podcast, right? That's what you do in the podcast. We talk about the law of attraction. Well, you can do the same thing in your private life. Let's have a conversation about the positive aspects of the law of attraction. And if you do that for an hour and you extol all the benefits of it, you go through the ins and outs and so forth, by the time you're done, you feel a buzz. You feel a buzz that no alcohol, no drug can possibly match.
That's true.
You know? The closest I can think of is somebody who's an exercise fiend, and they like to go out and get the exercise high, you know?
Yes.
That's the closest I can think of to it.
One fun thing that actually, in one of my books, Magnetize Your Life, I have this really fun exercise that you can do with a friend, and you actually like go out to lunch or dinner, and you spend the whole meal talking about everything you've ever wanted as if you've already had it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're done with that, you just feel so like, woo, you're just at such a raised vibration, because it just feels so good to do that. And that's also another fun way where you could raise your vibration with somebody.
One of my wife's favorite things to do, and she does this for a variety of different reasons, mainly having to do with her own early years that I won't even get into. But she has this tendency of planning out what we're going to have for the next meal while we're having a meal.
That's funny.
So, you know, I'm enjoying the beef stew, and she's talking about what we're gonna have for lunch tomorrow, you know? But hey, you know, that's how she gets herself psyched about the next meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's and it gets her into a more positive place. Her face lights up whenever she does it. So she'll say,
"Whoa.
Oh, you know what we could do for you know what we could do for dinner tonight?" And she'll go into what we could do for dinner tonight. I say, "Okay, yeah, that sounds great." You
know? Well, I assume you're well fed, Walt.
Yes. Sometimes my waistline shows it a little too much, but yes. It's funny too, David. I've always been a thin person all my life.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I got married that she did what, you know, the old cliches say that she fattens you up a little bit. I didn't think it was possible, but yeah, I actually have gotten fattened up a little bit. And I say I didn't think it was possible because, I mean, I was always very tall and very thin. I was like, they called me beanpole and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
You know? And so for me to look down and say, there's a belly down there? Ooh, I got to do something about it. I've never had to do anything about that before.
Oh, my God. Well, I wish I could say I could say I'm very tall, but I cannot say I was always very thin.
Oh. So you had it from the other point of view, so to speak. Well, then I do not recommend that you constantly talk about the next meal, then.
No, but that's one thing we don't have to worry now about Walt. We know he's being well-fed.
Yeah, that's right. But look what happened as we were talking about this. We're laughing. We're yeah. feeling good. I mean, the endorphins are just flowing through our bodies.
That's
just
a raised vibration. Oh, boy. That's a raised vibration.
It feels so good, too. It feels so good. It's not like you have to have, you know, $1 million come in order to feel good. That probably wouldn't even give the same kind of buzz.
Probably not.
It'd be like, oh, I just got $1 million, you know. That's pretty good. Wow, my dream has come true. And then you're right back to where you were before.
Right, because it's like Paul McCartney said, there was nothing
there's
there.
There's nothing at the top, yeah.
You climb the ladder of success, and at the top, nothing's there.
But this feeling that we're feeling right now, as we've been talking about this is a feeling that lasts. And that's the best part. The best part is when you get into this vein of staying positive, especially when you do it through this kind of a rampage we do when we do this podcast, everything feels better. Life feels better. Moment to moment, life feels better. That what could be better than that?
I mean, that's way worth more than being a millionaire. Like, that is, to me, that is worth millions.
In some ways,
like,
yeah. 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 I mean, not that I don't want to have the money, I do, but, you know, if I had to pick, if I had to choose, you can only have one, I'd rather pick feeling good. Because what's the point of having all that money if you don't feel good?
Yes, fortunately, you don't have to pick. But I know.
Fortunately, yes. Yeah. Good. I don't mean to say that you have to, but wow, you know, this is like 100 times better. Because then you get to live that way every day.
Yeah.
You get to feel that way every day. You know? And even when you have the bad days, and I've had plenty of those lately, but even when you have the bad days, they don't last.
Yeah, they're different than before you know about this kind of work.
See, there's a difference right there. So many people who are habitually in a negative vortex, let's put it that way, in more down-to-earth terminology, we'd say they're habitually depressed. They're the ones who have the black clouds. You know, everything looks bad to them. Everything looks down. No, there is no hope. There's no hope in the universe. You know, all that kind of thing. What a miserable way to live. And they believe deep down in their hearts that there is nothing they can do about it. That's why we do this podcast, to tell them, yeah, you really can do something about it. You don't have to feel that way. No matter what your circumstances are, you do not have to feel that way. You choose to feel that way. And that's the hard lesson. Every time that you refocus on all those bad things that are happening, you are choosing to feel that way.
That's right. That's right.
Stop it.
And we've talked about that before, about keeping yourself in the what is.
Right.
Compared to what you want.
What is has nothing to do with what you want your life to be.
Exactly. Unless you stay focused on the what is, you can choose to do that, but I would recommend not doing that.
But it still only has something to do with it because you chose to.
Yes.
In actual fact, when you take your options out of it, when you take your choices out of the picture, the one has nothing to do with the other. The only way they can ever be related is if you choose them.
Yes. Yes. So sometimes someone could be so mired and doing in the what is, it's hard to even think about trying to think about something a little bit better, but you can.
Well, they forget that they chose it in the first place. And they get upset about that. If you point out to them that they chose it in the first place, they get upset. I didn't choose this. Who would choose this? Well, actually, you did choose that. And you continue to choose it every day. What? Yeah, you continue to choose it every day because you keep focusing on it.
No, it's like, which I'll tell it quickly because I know we're getting low on time. Like Esther Hicks was telling the story where someone had called her for some help, and the lady who called just kept going on about how horrible this and horrible that. And every time Esther tried to change the subject about some silly topic, like did you know about antiques and rose colored glass, and like she would just always go back to complaining about her situation, and no matter how Esther tried to divert her from continually thinking about how bad her life was, she just didn't get that that's what she was doing. Like, you can deliberately choose to think about something else instead of just telling yourself the same story over and over.
And the worst part with somebody like that is when they get so determined to stay focused on all the bad things that are happening, it is truly impossible for anybody else to shake them loose from it.
Yeah.
The only person who can shake them loose is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be willing to do it. They have to be willing to at least give it a shot. And until they're willing to, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I mean, I've actually tried the reverse psychology thing. I've tried saying to people, well, your life is really miserable. Everything about your life is terrible. I mean, horrible. Everything's going wrong. Life basically sucks and then you die. And they say, yeah, 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 that's it. So even reverse psychology doesn't work.
No matter how Esther tried to change the subject to something stupid, purposely just to change the subject, the lady was so mired in her problems, she wouldn't do it. So we have to always be aware of that, too. Like, you know, we have to be willing to reach for that better thought, even if we're in a, bad spot.
And if you find that you are in a place where you're so bad that you feel like you can't find that other thought, here are a few ways to do it. One way, my favorite way, because it's the one that I used first when I was first trying to learn this stuff, is if you have a beautiful day and it's not pouring rain outside, go outside and enjoy the weather. I don't care how hot it is. I don't care how cold it is. Go outside and just bask in how beautiful the weather is and notice every single detail about it. I mean, if you're going to focus on what is, at least focus on some what is that's good. Through doing that, and if you can just do that every single day for a long period of time every single day, that alone will make you feel a little bit better every day.
Yeah, I think that term is called go general. Just go general.
Go general.
Think about the weather. Look outside and find something that you like to appreciate. Just enjoy that at a minimum.
Remember the Optimist Creed, right? The Optimist Creed is there's always a silver lining. Your job is to find the silver lining. No matter what the bad thing is that's happened, there's always some kind of silver lining somewhere. Where is it? If you can't do any imagining on your own, you can at least find the silver lining. You can do that much.
Yeah.
Because you're focusing on reality, right? I mean, silver linings do really exist. So you're doing what you're used to. You're doing what you're arguing you have to do, which is to stay focused on reality. Okay, well, there it is. Don't focus on the bad reality. Focus on the good part. And in doing so, you learn over time that you really do have the power to pull yourself away from all that negativity.
Or just, which is also easy, just flip from what you don't want to what you do want. I think everyone could do that. Like, well, what do I want regarding whatever? Oh, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. I mean, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, if you can do that, then do that. I was talking about the person who is so mired in what is that they couldn't get out of it. But if you can imagine what it is that you'd want, then by all means, that's the first step to true imagination, isn't it? Imagining what you'd want to have happen and then pretending that it actually happened, just like a kid does.
Yeah, but even someone who is mired in that, you could say, well, or they could ask, well, what do I want? Even though things are so horrible, use the thing that's horrible. You know, what's the opposite of that? I really want to feel happier because I don't feel happy. I want to feel happier. Yeah, you want to feel happier?
Yeah, the opposite game is good.
I want to feel happier because of this. So just start getting lost in that.
Yeah, opposites are really good because opposites are how you begin to recognize, you know, that there is a way to look at something other than what is. That, you're right. Opposites are very good. So anyway, we're out of time here, David. Why don't you remind everybody how to find your coaching?
Sure. You can go to lifecoachdavid.com. And from there, you can find out how to contact me. You can email me if you want to set up that first free session. Or there's even a calendar system, which you'll find on there, which you can just schedule your own appointment.
Yep, or you can even send the email that says, here's my question.
Or you can send the question to David at lifecoachdavid.com. Yes.
I also want to remind you that you can subscribe to our podcast by visiting loatoday.net with your web browser on your phone. David, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Same here, Walt.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.